You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
As international conflicts continue, the likelihood of nuclear war looms. Matthew Boyd, director of ADAPT Research, speaks to me today on the topic, specifically centred around his recently published paper, Sustained Resilience, the Impact of Nuclear War on New Zealand and How to Mitigate Catastrophe. I started by asking him what the direct aftermath in Aotearoa would be if a nuclear event were to happen anywhere in the world.
Yeah, so the impact of nuclear war is varied and vast, basically, and it ranges from the direct effects of the weapons themselves, the blasts at the sites where they're detonated, but then it will also have impacts on radiation levels in the atmosphere, which will be mostly confined to the regions or the continents where the war happens. But it will also have climate effects because of all the soot that gets raised into the atmosphere. And this soot will go around the world, and it can have a cooling effect. This is most impactful in large continent land masses where you get freezing temperatures and frost and winter conditions. But even in places like New Zealand, which are surrounded by a relatively warm ocean, there will be a degree or two drop in the temperature, and that could reduce the growing season, for example, and have other effects locally.
You touch on the growing season there. What would the ecological effects be in terms of food supply? Is it a degradation of land that puts us in peril for that kind of thing?
Yeah, so what happens basically is that a lot of crops would fail to thrive because the conditions have changed. And some computer modelling that has been done around the world, which integrates a climate model with an ocean model, has predicted that in New Zealand specifically, we could expect anything up to about a 60% reduction in the productivity, the yield of the crops because of this winter effect. Now, New Zealand does produce a lot of food, and even a 60% reduction probably isn't enough to lead to, you know, starvation or people actually dying of hunger. But that assumes that we're able to redirect exports locally and distribute the food equitably and appropriately. So there's a lot of logistical issues that could be of concern in this sort of situation.
In general, what are our most at-risk populations if disaster were to strike?
Yeah, so it's hard to predict exactly what would happen because it would depend a little bit on the circumstances. But there's risk for both rural and urban people, actually, because in the cities, it's difficult to grow food locally, so you'd have to ensure that food can be distributed to cities, which would involve, you know, in New Zealand's case, moving milk every day, for example, and that would require fuel, and we import all our refined fuel, so there's no guarantee that supplying cities would be straightforward. But, rurally, even though people may be able to grow food, you've sort of got the problem of distance and isolation. And so, again, it may not be straightforward to actually get the food to everyone that needs it.
In your research, you reference a social cohesion score, which you say that New Zealand scores quite highly on. Could you explain what that is and what aspects of our society mean that we score highly?
Yeah, sure. So the social cohesion score we talk about there is actually a one of the indicators from a thing called the Fragile States Index, and it basically measures things like how fractionalized, broken into groups a society is, and to what degree those groups have various grievances, and whether the society is a society of law and order. New Zealand is a relatively cohesive society when we compare it to other nations around the world. And it's generally thought that a more cohesive society is better able to deal with disaster situations.
So is our plan for nuclear war, is that public? Do we have a plan as a nation?
So the short answer to that is we don't know, and the reason for that is because New Zealand does conduct a thing called a national risk assessment and produces a national risk register, which is basically a list of all the big national risks. But this is a confidential document which is held in central government. And although we know, thanks to the release of part of this information following the Christchurch terrorist attacks. We know that, for example, terrorism is one of the risks that is considered, but we don't really know what else is there. And as far as I'm aware, there has been no serious study of the impact of nuclear war or nuclear winter on New Zealand since the 1980s. So I would certainly advocate for a repeat, at least, of those 1980s studies in the present context, because obviously back then we weren't dependent on things like cloud technology and the internet and so forth. So the impacts are probably quite different today. And I'd also advocate for opening up a public version of that risk register so that people and businesses can see what the risks are considered to be and have a chance of taking appropriate actions, as they see fit, as well as in addition to what the government sees fit.
What appropriate actions or mitigating measures can we take as a nation or as a people at maybe an individual level without compromising national security?
Yeah, so look, I think there's actually quite a suite of things that could be done with respect specifically to nuclear winter. And a lot of them actually also probably have other benefits, benefits for other risks or benefits for, in the business as usual situation here and now. And these range across things like building our resilience in energy so that we're not as dependent on imported oil, for example, building things like robust communication systems so that we're not dependent, for example, on international servers and internet and satellites, building a robust New Zealand food supply. As I said, we've probably got enough food, but we can improve the situation by diversifying and thinking about distributional issues. So there's a range of like what you might call broad resilience measures, which would probably have benefits, for the here and now and across other risks. So those are the sorts of things that at a national level, strategically over the years and over the decades, we should probably be aiming for. And at an individual level, in the situation like nuclear winter, well, it's possible to grow winter hardy crops that don't mind the cold. You could plant potatoes or sugar beets in your garden, or community groups could have urban food sources. So there's a range of things that people can do both individually and nationally. But one of the main things I would say would be to support decision makers who take a long view and who are supportive of plans to analyse risk, national risk, and to consider the best interventions to continue, to help us flourish. Look, I just think that in general there are several low probability but very high consequence risks that threaten the world, and I think that they're unfortunately quite neglected, and I would advocate for more analysis and more thinking around the issues of global pandemics, nuclear winter, famines, and the more extreme impacts of climate change.
That was me speaking with Matthew Boyd, Director of ADAPT Research, about the likelihood and the effects of nuclear war.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.